Hi, for those of you who are waiting for me to give my pre-talk, I'm going to give a condensed version because I was backstage dealing with minor issues. This is what happens when you do music of Stravinsky. There are always issues. Good afternoon. Welcome to our concert, our fourth concert of the season. I will also be giving brief snippets of information before the start of the Stravinsky, which is just going to be in a few minutes, as well as after intermission for the Kalinnikov. But I did want to mention just a couple of things about comparing the two composers. If you will, whatever connections there are, there aren't any physically, they didn't know each other at all, but their dates are really not far off, their birth dates. And it's very curious because when you listen especially to the two pieces you're going to hear today, they're just radically different in just about every way, other than the fact that they're both four-movement symphonies. So Kalinnikov was born only, I believe it, 16 years before the birth of Stravinsky, which is, you know, in musical history is not that huge a time frame. It's you know, just short of what we typically call a generation of 20 years. But they're very, very different trajectories in that Kalinnikov died just a few days short of his 35th birthday. He was only 34 when he died. And he didn't start composing until his early 20s. So Kalinnikov had a compositional career of just over a decade, which is pretty brief. I mean, Mozart dies in his 30s, but he was composing when he hit the ground, so to speak. Kalinnikov had this very brief, about 11 or 12 years, and so there's not a large oeuvre of works, but it's pretty selective as well. And very importantly, because it's such a brief period of time, as you would imagine with any artist, he had very little time to kind of expand and mature, in a matter of speaking, get better at his craft, you could call it, although that's kind of hokey to say, it's a little simplistic, but to mature and to go through anything approaching what Beethoven did in his not terribly long career, because Beethoven dies at 57, and yet Beethoven has three periods of his composition where he's early on influenced by Haydn and Mozart, and then breaks away from them in his middle period, and then just pushes the boundaries of composition and style and harmony and everything in his third period and his later period. Kalinnikov really just has one period of a brief set of works. Stravinsky, though radically different, has a compositional career of some 60 years, and it lives not just a long period of time, but is facile at really moving in and out of just about any, writing for any size of group, be it like one instrument, voice or violin and piano, small chamber group, chamber orchestra, up to large orchestra, chorus, opera. And he's not only comfortable, Stravinsky, almost intuitively, his genius is such, he can move quickly from one piece where he writes for a small intimate group to a large ensemble and then back, but also stylistically, Stravinsky has not just a chronological career where he dabbles in different kind of styles of composition. Early on, he's in his teens, he's very romantic. His first symphony, Symphony in E-flat, we played several years ago, sounds not like a German symphony, but it sounds very much like something that the composer after Brahms would have written, and nothing like what we expect of Stravinsky. But Stravinsky also moves, as you know, very quickly to a harmonic language, which is filled with a certain amount of dissonance and yet grounded in tonality. So there's always key areas. You always, in a sense, know where you are, although there's a lot of kind of percolating to the surface dissonance, which causes the most important thing in art that we know in music, tension and release of tension. In the particular piece we're doing today, the two pieces, the first by Stravinsky, is, although it's mid-20th century, is nevertheless imbued in many different ways with the classical ideal, the ideal of a early Haydn symphony or middle period Haydn symphony. It won't sound anything like Haydn, but the tempi and the will be such And the essence of the movements are written with a kind of a lightness and a brevity that reflect from, you know, a time frame, of course, of 150 or so years, the symphonies of Haydn. And even to a certain degree, some of the orchestral works of Bach and the sons of Bach. So whereas the Kleinikoff, as I kind of implied or said, is a very, not a heavy piece per se, but heavily imbued with a romantic ideal, very active in the, especially the Russian composers at the end of the 19th century, starting out with Tchaikovsky and moving on to other very famous Russian composers before we get to the 20th century, Prokofiev and Shostakovich. So we have these two radically different works, and yet they're both symphonies, and they're kind of reflective of the times, the late 19th century and then the mid-20th century, and also the very much the personalities and development in the careers of the two composers. So I apologize for brief notes, but some of you might appreciate that. In any case, we'll be starting very, very soon, so enjoy yourselves.